Follow the Yellow Brick Road. It wasn't too many years ago that the United Church of Christ began publishing these small 16 reasons I love, and then something, the church, Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit, one of them that is still out there. We have one, 16 reasons I love my church. You can get it on the table in the narthex. One of the reasons lifted in that book is inspired by the beloved book and feature film, Wizard of Oz. I love my church because it's sort of like the Wizard of Oz. It's about having a heart and a brain and courage. It's a fun reason to love our church. And it's also kind of, you know, it's whimsical, it's silly, it's maybe a little ridiculous. Wonder if there's room for silly and whimsical and ridiculous in the church. Because, you know, we're called to have a heart for others. We're called to use our minds to do our best to make decisions, even where there seem to be no good ones. And we're called to move forward in courage. But sometimes things don't work out that easily. Things don't make sense, and we feel devastated, and we feel helpless, and we feel hopeless. It's the way people feel when their cities, their neighborhoods, families, their friends, everything destroyed. That's happening in our world. This happens to people on a daily basis, and nothing makes sense. It seems to be nowhere to go, no idea of what to do. So we had something go on this week. There was an election. And the results of the past week's election have really left a lot of people feeling devastated, unsafe, and without hope. And statistically, it would follow that just as many people feel vindicated and energized. And some were, and remain indifferent about the whole thing and just want to move on. You know, after an election like we've just had and the result, it's important to have space to grieve and lean on one another for support in sorrow, fear, and vulnerability. A lot of folks want to just say, you know, it's just the way politics is and we have to get on with it and everything. After elections, usually you don't see reports and see real incidents related to the reports that are happening. There are hundreds of examples from across the nation of people being accosted or having racist epithets hurled at them, people feeling vulnerable, asking some questions like, am I safe? Right here in our congregation, folks, here we are at St. Paul's, a beautiful, wonderful church that kind of reminds us of the Wizard of Oz, like having a heart and brain and courage, and we're called to be the church, protecting the environment and caring for the poor and forgiving and rejecting racism and fighting for the powerless and sharing earthly and spiritual resources, embracing diversity, loving God, and enjoying this life. And right here in our congregation, we have felt the results of the election. Julia Hennelly reported that both Jimmy and Luke have heard the hateful racist rhetoric at school and been told by school friends that they're going to be deported if Trump wins. And they feel more vulnerable than ever not being white. Incidents and situations like that are fueled by the legitimizing of racism, sexism, xenophobia, LGBTQ hatred from a candidate who was for president, who's now our president-elect. And, you know, it's not okay. It's not okay that to say we're the church and say we're going to be the church and then to let something like that just slide. We can't let that be our witness. It's a writer I pay attention to. She's brilliant, brilliant thoughts. Her name is Glennon Doyle. She communicated this. She said that Jesus spent his ministry here on earth doing good, but really asking two questions. One was, who is power forgetting? And two is, who is religion oppressing? Jesus kept asking these questions. And we have to keep asking those questions as the church. Who is power forgetting? Who is religion oppressing? We have to be a support one to the other. And in that support, I hope there are ways to begin healing this rift, this awfulness, this evil that seems to be present among us. And there's this morning's Bible reading from Isaiah 65. It comes at a devastating time, a land destroyed and a people returning to try to start something new and wondering if it's possible at all. And Isaiah breathes hope. There's hope for something new, a new city, new homes, new farms, new peace without destruction. From a hopeless situation, there's hope and encouragement. Encouraging words of something wonderful on the horizon. I said in the Friday email, I wonder if that's possible. I do know that, of course, we can come together as the church on things that we agree about. It's just that finding those issues are sometimes really difficult. We, as a nation, can come together on things we agree about, but finding those issues are sometimes so difficult. We can't get past the things that divide us to do something good together. And, you know, people who have endured devastation need immediate and long-term help. I really do dream of the kind of unity I hear in this Bible reading, especially the last line where it says, "The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, the lion shall eat straw like the ox, but the serpent its food shall be dust." That's not a real positive part there. It's calling out the evil and saying, "No. They shall not hurt or destroy any on my holy mountain," says the Lord. And that's inspirational, but it's also ridiculous because wolves and lambs don't feed together. They never are going to, never have. One of them eats the other. But this verse looks toward a time where the ridiculous happens. I am as guilty as any one of us here at thinking that my agenda in situations like now or yesterday or a week from now is the right one. That, of course, why would anyone think differently than I do? Can't stand it when I encounter ideas that I'm sure aren't only not helpful, they're going to make things worse. And then I think of those I might imagine to be the wolves. The lambs, the lions, the oxen, the serpent. And I dream and hope that we can find common ground and work together for good. I know I can't promise a new day. I can't promise new hope to everyone. I can't fix what's wrong. But I do believe we can look forward in hope. We can look forward in hope at St. Paul's. Right now, we're working together on some beautiful initiatives, like the Peace Mural Project, which is more important than ever. And all these things on the St. Paul's Action Network. We're striving to be the church while recognizing the diversity of views we have here. A couple of weeks ago, during the St. Paul's Friday News update, I asked a question and talked about some visioning going on in the United Church of Christ. The question is, why? Why are we? Why are we St. Paul's? Why are we the United Church of Christ? And here's some thoughts in discussion of that question from the UCC. The UCC's new purpose statement comes from the Gospel of Matthew, and here it is: to love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and our neighbor as ourselves. You've heard that before. Love God, love everyone. We've heard that. We've tried to live that. We know that. And then the mission statement for the UCC, united in spirit and inspired by God's grace, we welcome all, love all, and seek justice for all. That's ridiculous hospitality. It's wonderful hospitality. It's a spirit of good. And then our vision for the United Church of Christ, united in Christ's love, a just world for all. And I wonder, how do these statements reflect the life here at St. Paul's? And how can we more fully embrace this call to love and justice? United in Christ's love, a just world for all. United in spirit and inspired by God's grace, welcoming all, loving all, seeking justice for all. Loving God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and our neighbor as ourselves. And how, with ideas like that in mind, are we going to continue to support the vital ministry that we do within these walls and outside of these walls? How will we continue to love one another, be inspired, work for justice, and be the church together? There's a lot going on this morning. Processing, reflecting on the results of the presidential election and all the different offices that were filled during the election. It's Stewardship Sunday, where we have several stewardship cards that have already been given, and this is the Sunday where we will dedicate them, and you can bring them or put them into the offering plate when the offering plate comes by. We'll have a litany of dedication for that. It's Veterans Day Sunday, where we remember those who have served and thank them. And we are St. Paul's UCC. We are the church. We dedicate time and talent pledges and estimates for the coming year. And in all of these things that we're doing today and beyond, we are called to be a congregation of love, of welcome, of grace, and justice. We're called to be a people of generosity and hospitality. Jesus lived out those ideas as he was asking those questions. Who is power forgetting? Who is religion oppressing? Who am I going to have for dinner tonight? Remember the Zacchaeus one. Jesus lived out the ideas of generosity, hospitality, welcome, grace, justice, and love, and calls us to go and do the same. Our time, our talent, our finances, our dreams, our energy, our hope. Hard times will happen. Again, hard times are happening now. Devastation will happen again, and devastation is happening now, but it doesn't mean that we don't look forward in hope. Looking forward in hope helps people courageously experience with their hearts and minds God's extraordinary and unconditional love. And all this talk about how are we going to be the church, how are we going to do this, it's not just about us, right? I know that we talk about us and we want us to do well, but there is no them and us. The whole thing, this hope thing that God is doing, it's about everyone. So where do we go with this idea of hope for the world? Because God's extravagant welcome, that's ridiculous. It goes against what we would call good judgment. It means spending money after stuff that doesn't seem to bring in money. It means doing things that might not have a return, but God calls us to be extravagant and welcoming. It's absolutely necessary. So what if we looked at the word like squander as a good thing rather than a negative? We could think of it as squandering what God has blessed us with to reach out illogically and ridiculously to welcome all. Or maybe we look at the word squander still as a negative thing. Maybe we squander what God has blessed us with when we try to use those gifts to keep people out or just stay exactly as we are and say, I want things to be that way. So maybe we don't squander what God has blessed us with then. And we got to stop thinking of us inviting them. There's no us and them. There's an authentic realization that all are God's children. How are we responding to what God is doing? What will communicate to all a sense of desperation about the need to go out and invite and welcome all? Open doors, open hearts, open minds. Being the church, standing up to injustice, standing up for love. We can be the church. Even if it seems impossible to do all of this stuff, we can do it illogically and ridiculously with love and justice. Let's participate in life-changing, world-changing ministry. Because really, folks, no matter how we are experiencing things right now, no matter what has gone wrong, what has gone right, when we decide and continue to be the church, the possibilities in front of us are infinite. Amen.